Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. Some folks are not old enough to have gone to any sort of reunion yet, or to have seen friends or classmates for the first time that you haven't seen in a long time, but many of us have had that opportunity. To go back to something like a high school reunion or a college reunion and catch up with old friends, but also to see at a distance or up close those people who we might not have really known all too well back then, who seem to know our names really well, even without a name tag, and say something like, "Oh, great to see you, Matthew." And in reply, we might say to them, "Oh, great to see you, too." All the while flipping as quickly as we can through the mental Rolodex to try to grab their name out of the hat. The whole time also hoping the reunion chair would pass out those name tags that have the old yearbook pictures on them and give us a chance to put the person in some kind of context. It often gets worse when this person starts to recount stories of you and them, and you don't remember a thing about anything about you and them. Having been to 2 10-year reunions, one for high school, the other for college, I can say from experience, this forgetting thing happens really early. So I expect that sometime I will be on the hot seat at upcoming reunions as well, and maybe you will too, since I don't think my memory will improve between now and then. The disciples as a whole are struggling, like we sometimes do at reunions, to figure out who this Jesus guy is. This guy who just said to them in our scripture for today, "Peace be with you." They don't recognize Jesus. And it's not just fear or disbelief that has led to this standoff. It's the fact that Jesus really isn't the same. This is a new Jesus, not come back to life in the way of Lazarus, who when he came back was the same old guy, just alive instead of dead. No, this Jesus is a new Jesus. This Jesus is a promise from God fulfilled, and he resembles the Jesus who died because he's got the scars, but something is forever different, so different that instead of thinking he's real, the disciples think he's a ghost. And isn't it fitting that here in northern Illinois, not too long after the Lenten season, an area where there are so many Roman Catholics and lots of fish on Friday nights, the thing that Jesus does beyond his words that finally proves he is really there is that he eats a piece of fish. And that seals the deal. Now the disciples believe and hear the scriptures in a way that they never had before. So for Jesus' disciples, there's a continuity and there's simultaneously a disconnect. A continuity that this is Jesus, but a disconnect that this is Jesus resurrected and that he is not the same, but he is made new. And that newness does not reside with Jesus alone, but rather emanates from Jesus and gives new life to those around him. The disciples understand Scripture in new ways, and for the first time, we begin to realize through their eyes that this is Christ of whom the Old Testament spoke, and he is here to make us each new. And how does he do this? He makes us new with water and word through baptism. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. So often we wait till something like a funeral sermon until we talk about folks being made new because they have gone on to eternal life. But honestly, why should we wait? You and I can each claim Christ's hold on our lives now. Sure. Things will be different when we're gone and we're not some perfect incarnation as we hear those words. But it's not too early to claim Christ's pull on each of our lives. And what does claiming Christ look like? Well, we're invited, of course, to repent of our sins, to thus be forgiven every day, And as forgiven people, we are invited, like the first disciples, because we are modern-day disciples, to go out and share God with all people. Jesus says to his disciples, start here, but go out and share this good news with all nations. Tell all people that Jesus is risen, and through the risen Christ, you will be made new. Some think that we find ourselves in our teenage years or in our early 20s. Others think we find ourselves at the end of a midlife crisis or after a huge life change. I would argue that we find our self-identity through the people with whom we surround ourselves. This morning, we find ourselves worshiping alongside other Christians, either literally in the same room or online, with whom we will hopefully meet quite soon face to face. I invite us to be defined by what is taught here in this church community, whether it is Bible study, in friendship, in love, in prayer, that when asked who we are, our first thought would be one that the disciples were just discovering in that room 2,000 years ago, that we would happily respond to the question, who are you, by saying, well, me? I'm a Christian. Not a perfect one by any means, but one who is indeed baptized and called by God to go out into the world and to serve. I know who Jesus of the locked room is. And the resurrected Jesus has sent me out into the world, breaking through those locked doors, stepping over boundaries that might curtail the help I could give or the help I might receive. The name I carry above all names is that of Christ, on my heart and in my visage. Amen.